Thank you for your word today, Lord. It's powerful, relevant. Please speak to us personally. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. No one is really sure if this was one or two psalms and where one starts and the other ends. So that's why we read them together. And as you read them, you can see they're about the same thing. They just kind of run into each other. You can see this writer's on a roller coaster. Depression is what he's in. And depression is nothing new to humanity. It always existed. Depression, in the Psalms we study today, we see the term cast down. Why are you cast down, O my soul? We see that term three times in these chapters. Cast down, O my soul. Psalm 42:5, Psalm 42:11, and verse 4, Psalm 43, verse 5. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? The Hebrew term cast down means to sink down, to be depressed, pressed down. Means depression is taking place. You're pressed down. You're sinking down. And he says, why are you depressed, O my soul? His soul, this breathing creature of God, is depressed on the inside. The mind, the heart. We see one thing, the writer knows God. Christians suffered depression. People that knew God in the Old Testament suffered depression. Disquieted, he also says. And why are you disquieted within me? Disquieted, that term means to be in great commotion or tumult. You have this great commotion inside of you because of depression. So common today. You know, you're probably wondering, wow, what a service to come to. We're going to talk about depression. And the reason we're talking about it is because God is going to bless you. Because God has the answer. We have to be real in this life and talk about things that really happen to us and not act like we're Christians so we're never bothered by anything. We are. Things affect us. Jesus wept. Jesus was abandoned by his disciples. He suffered. He communicated with the Father and said, why have you forsaken me? He felt the pain in being forsaken. Studies show that depression in our day is on the rise, greater than ever before. It has no age or gender, young, old, middle-aged, female, male, doesn't matter. And maybe some of you have been depressed at times. The good news is God has a cure. That's the good news. When you go to the doctor, you don't want him to say, you're healthy, get out of here. You want to go to him and say, I'm hurting and I need help. You have to admit you need help. And then he can cure you. The same with our relationship with God and our inner being, the turmoil we go through. God can heal it. The good news is God has the cure for depression. But not only the cure. Because when we say the word cure, what does that mean? We already have the condition. We always talk about cure, the cure. Well, it's really too late for the condition we're in. See, God also has the preventive maintenance to stay out of depression. Isn't that better? Better to not get something than to get it and have to cure it. In today's text, God's word speaks to the believer and to the unbeliever. The answer for the unbeliever is to become a believer and then have some hope in God. They need God. Become part of the family so that you have a Father in heaven that will take care of you. But for the believer, he also has this cure. We see the writer, and you maybe have it in your Bible, the sons of Korah is the writer. And it's important to know that because in Numbers chapter 16, let's turn to Numbers chapter 16 if you'd like. Numbers 16, the sons of Korah were those people that rebelled against the authority of Moses and Aaron. Remember how God gave Moses the authority and Aaron the authority to represent him to these millions of people? Well, the sons of Korah said, "Who do you think you are, big shot? How do we know that God called you and not us in this nation?" They rebelled. Numbers 16, verse 28. So Moses said, "Let's do this. Let's separate and see who God really chooses." And in verse 28, Moses said, "By this you'll know that the Lord has sent me to do all these works, for I have not done them of my own will. If these men die naturally like all men, or if they are visited by the common fate of all men, then the Lord has not sent me." They're over there, the sons of Korah. Now, if he's chosen them and nothing happens to them, don't know God chose them and not me. But if the Lord creates a new thing and the earth opens its mouth and swallows them up with all that belongs to them, and they go down alive into the pit, then you'll understand that these men have rejected the Lord. He says, but if the Lord, if the ground opens up like an earthquake and it swallows that old family, all those guys, you'll know, then it's me he's choosing. That'd be scary, wouldn't it? Now it came to pass, as he finished speaking all these words, guess what? The ground split apart under them. The earth opened up its mouth, swallowed them up with their households and all the men with Korah with all their goods. Wow, so all those that went down alive into the pit, the earth closed over them and they perished from among the assembly. Woo, not good. Everybody says, I guess Moses is the guy. You don't want to mess with God's people. I've talked to unbelievers that time, you probably have, where you share the gospel and they just hate God. They don't want anything to do with God. They don't believe. And they're going through something, you know, and you share with them, well, you know, God can come into your life and help you and you need to give your life to him. And you say to them, well, let's pray. No, 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 no. They get scared. Why? If you don't believe in God, why would you be scared to pray? Let's turn to 1 Chronicles 9. 1 Chronicles 9. Turn ahead to the book of 1 Chronicles, chapter 9. When they swallowed them up, the children were spared. The children weren't there. The sons of Korah, they were spared. That's how this psalm was written. In 1 Chronicles 9, verse 19. Shallum, the son of Korah, the son of Ebesaph, the son of Korah, and his brethren from his father's house, the Korahites, were in charge of the work of the service, gatekeepers of the tabernacle. Their fathers had been keepers of the entrance to the camp of the Lord. We see their sons and the family after them took care of the ministry of the temple. But look at 1 Chronicles 32 and 33. Chapter 9, verse 32 and 33. Some of their brethren of the sons of the Korahites were in charge of preparing the showbread for every Sabbath. These are the singers, heads of the fathers' houses of the Levites, who lodged in the chambers and were free from other duties, for they were employed in the work day and night. They became worship leaders, worship people. Isn't that great? They were spared. So this psalm written by the sons of Korah was involved in leading worship, person that wrote this, ministry, singing to the Lord. But now he's in exile. They're in exile and longs to go back to worship God. back to the good old days where he led worship, but now exiled and apart from that. And a person can separate themselves from service to the Lord. Back off. Get into the world. Doesn't have to necessarily be you were taken into exile. You can slide, call it backsliding. You can stop serving the Lord or being in church or in fellowship. So in Psalm 43, 1 and 2, we see that. Vindicate me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. We see he was in exile. O deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man. You are the God of my strength. Why do you cast me off? Why do I go mourning? Because of the oppression of the enemy. So he's in that place where he can't get back there. And wondering why God is doing this. Now, some apply these psalms to the Jewish remnant during the tribulation period that are looking back and longing to, oh, just be able to do that again. Some apply, you know, this psalm, and it does apply to believers today. It applies to unbelievers today, the answer here, and to unbelievers and to believers who look back at a better day with the Lord. And maybe a lot of us can. Maybe some have lost their first love. They're for everyone, these psalms. On Wednesday nights, we've been studying the book of Revelation. The tribulation period, we just got over it this past week and got into Jesus coming back. Horrible judgments of God poured out on the earth. Devastation. And we read of the Battle of Armageddon Wednesday night. Everybody on this earth, you know, killed. On Sundays, we've been in the book of Mark. And in Mark 13, what were we studying? The last days. Going over what's going to happen. And it's been dark, the teachings on Wednesday and Sunday, but it's not for the believer. We won't be here. We'll be raptured. That's the good news about being born again. We'll be taken out of here. But many people don't like to hear those kind of messages, so you don't hear them taught in many places. You see, it has been said that people want to hear a message that tickles their ears, where they can leave feeling good about themselves. It's been said that the younger generation gets depressed when they read stuff about no hope in the future. It's all going to end, and we're closer to the last days than ever before. Well, for the believer, that's good news. It's like you got this mansion waiting for you, and you're living in a shack, and you're saying, oh, I don't want to leave the shack. I like living here. Outdoor toilets. No running water. I can go down to the river every day, go wash my clothes in the river. Man, that's great. Why do I want to go into this mansion with all these utilities and everything? We're going to a better place. Why would it hurt you or depress you to read about, well, gosh, I had all these plans in my life. I've put in 24 years of education, and I got to use it. I got plans, big plans. I don't want to go to church and hear about this world coming to an end soon and Jesus coming back. And a lot of people don't like that. People today don't like a fire and brimstone message. Well, they certainly wouldn't have liked to listen to Jesus. He talked about hell more than heaven. Jesus came to save sinners. That's the whole point of his coming, to save sinners. They just want to pleasant things to hear when they go to church, you know, about prosperity and good health, good times here, no talk of sin. When I go to the doctor, I want him to tell me what's wrong. That's the only way I can be healed. Now, the only way God can heal me is by me admitting I'm sick and I need help. And there's nothing wrong with that. We're all sinners. I don't know why people have a hard time saying sin. I made a mistake, a boo-boo, didn't do it quite right. No, it's sin. The good news, Jesus can cleanse your sin. Isn't that wonderful? So people get depressed and discouraged when God doesn't work for them. when you're into prosperity and all these good things that people preach today. It's all about life here. The problem is, and we know people like that, they listen to these kind of messages and then they wonder, well, how come I'm not making it here in life? If God's so loving and good and wants me to have a good life here and be taken care of and be prosperous, then how come it's not working for me? Jesus had nowhere to lay his head. He never talked about prosperity here. He talked about prosperity in the hereafter. You see, life here is difficult. It rains on the just and the unjust. We all live in the same world. We're not going to escape tribulation simply because we're a Christian. Jesus promised us that, didn't he? He said, in this world, you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. We don't always think of the second part, do we? Our faith in our God must stand firm in the face of trials and tribulations and testings. We can't give in. All we can say is, Jesus was right. I'm going through a hard time right now, but he's giving me the strength to go through it. He said in John 16:33, you will have this. See, Jesus spoke of hell and sin and tribulation and a horrible time on this earth prior to his coming back. And we said it relates to a woman having a baby. There are labor pains and trials and trouble before delivery, but that takes place prior to the delivery, and then the beautiful child is born. Isn't that wonderful? The world and things in it cannot satisfy man. Jesus can. People search and search for things to satisfy them and complete them here on this earth. You'll never find it. This is not heaven. We can all say amen. It's not heaven. You see, the world and pursuit of making it in the world will never satisfy anyone. You'll always want more, and you'll always come up empty because you won't get what you want. And people get depressed. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew 16, verse 24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, to me and you today, here today, if anyone desires to come after me, you want to be his follower, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. What does he mean? You got to give up on your own goals, dreams, and desires, and put your life in my hands, else you're going to lose your life. But the way you're going to find why you were born, why you're here, is to put your life in my hands, and you'll find it. Isn't that awesome? Matthew 16, 24, and 25 is a guide on life. If you lose your life, just give up trying to make it, going through the pressure, the stress, the anxiety. Just say, God, I'm going to follow you. Just take care of me and lead me where you want me to go and what you want me to do. Put your life in his hands and you're going to find it. Did you ever look for something in the house or at the workplace or out somewhere and you can't find it? And then you realize it was right in front of you on where it should be all the time. Don't you hate that? I wasted all that time. I can remember once losing my wallet. You know, I couldn't find it. We were at the beach, came back home, no wallet. I said, wow. I literally drove back to the beach, backtracked all our steps, couldn't find it, looked all over, called, canceled all the credit cards, get the new license, the whole thing. You know the trouble in all of that. And guess what? I found it on the floor in the room at the house. And you say to yourself, man, it was right there in front of me all the time. But we always expect the worst. And so Jesus is saying, well, I'm right here. Life's in me. What are you searching for? You're wasting your time. That was wasted time a whole morning. And then longer than that because you got to go through the credit card thing. All for nothing. People live their whole life building it up, all these plans, feel, you know, this is my goal, my 5-year plan, my 10-year plan, my 20-year plan, and it doesn't work out. And then you get depressed because things don't work out. See, if God's in it, he's going to give you a better life than you could yourself. He'll provide. He'll take care of you. He'll open doors. But it'll just flow. And you won't be stressed and anxious. Anxiety leads to depression. Not getting what you thought you should have leads to depression. Failure in life. You know, we're so hard on ourselves. Well, it didn't work out the way I thought it was. That can lead to depression. Let it go and just say, God's in charge. You know, I've told this story oftentimes about a boy coming home from school every day, a young boy, and he starts building this big ship with toothpicks, putting them together. This huge, beautiful ship, all with toothpicks he built. One day he comes home and it's complete. So he goes down to the pond, he puts it in the water, a wind comes, blows it against the rock, and it shatters. All at work. And he looks up and says, good day for flying kites. You see? Just flow with it. Like they say, make lemonade out of lemons. You know? Just whatever God hands you, that's the life we have. Use it for his glory. Put your life in his hands. Stay out of that depression. So back to our text, verse 42, chapter 42, verse 5, we read, why are you, so we know the background of this person. He's now, in verse 5, he's talking to himself. He's gotten so nuts with this, he's talking to himself. You know how you can get overwhelmed? You can get in such a pit that you're talking to yourself. In this case, it's good to talk to yourself, to try and talk yourself out. And he says, why are you cast down? Why are you depressed, O my soul? And why are you in such turmoil? Why are you disquieted within me? He goes, man, why are you like this? What happened? Circumstances in life have gotten him depressed. The circumstances in his life now put him in a place that he wasn't used to, taken from where he was, it got him depressed. He wanted the other things, the old life. He got depressed. Now, here's the thing. Changes in life can cause depression. We don't like change, do we? Right. You know, even if your life isn't so great, did you notice that? I don't want to change. I can remember working on jobs saying, God, get me out of this job. I don't like this job. And then you get a notice that you're getting let go. You say, I didn't mean that. No, it isn't so bad. Please help me keep my job. You know, we can, when a change comes, and there can be dramatic changes in life, financially, death, health, all kinds of things. Change causes depression, if you let it. I don't think people understand this. We have a way to rise above these things. We've got to fight discouragement and depression with the Word of God. And the only way we can fight it is with the Word of God and God himself. If we go to the world and to people, it's not going to help. God is the only one with the power to help. Only God. Very narrow. Some people might hear this message and say, that's a very narrow message. Yes, it is. Why do we see hope in God all three times? He found the answer. There is nothing else that can help. Hope in God. We, you know, circumstances can drag us down. You know, especially circumstances which make life here not as good as in the past days, which is the case with this guy. It wasn't a change for the better. It was a change for the worse. That's where it can really hit. You know what you can say? I want the good old days. And they were better. And you long for the good old days when things were just the way I wanted them to be. That's where this guy is. Why aren't they that way? Why me, God? It was so good. Maybe not so good, but it was good. Better than this. He remembers, verse 4, when I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me. For I used to go with the multitude. I used to go in our day to church or to the temple in his case. For I used to go with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept the pilgrim's feast. Man, I went to all the feast days. I really loved it. I loved going with the crowd to church and praising the Lord and the voice of joy and going to the house of God. Oh, that was so good. I used to be a worship leader. That was so good. I really enjoyed that, God. The good old days. And so when he remembers that, they led a great procession to the house of God with joy and praise. Boy, and now he's in that place of being taken away from it. He tells us in verse 1, as the deer pants for the water brooks, so my pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Oh, I just want to be back there. He's doing the right thing here. He's panting, looking for God. That's the only thing that filled his thirst. God, oh, I just long for that. For you, God. For you. The problem is when he gets down to verse 4, he gets into the things he did and where he went rather than the God. We got to separate things from God. It's just God we have to have. Not the things. Not the good old life. It's God. Just God. That's the key. You have to remember that. Remember, the focus has got to be on just God. Even when we're longing for the good old days, the focus has to be on longing for God to help, not for the situation to be right, for the family to be together, for your ministry to be the same, for whatever. But it's got to be for God. So he started out by thirsting for God, but then he let his mind go, you know, in verse 4, and get back to the things he had in the past. And that's longing for a life in the past can be a cause for depression. Because you're not going to get it back. Did you ever go to a place that was beautiful, you know, and everything was in order, things were fine, and you go back again and it wasn't quite the same? This happens in restaurants a lot. Hey, you go there, tell everybody about it. It's a great place. You go there again, it was a lousy service. Oh, I'm so sorry for taking you here. It was a lot better than this. And you start making excuses. That's why we need to enjoy life every moment. God's blessing you. Just enjoy it, because you're never going to remake that day. That's why Jesus talks about living life daily. Today is the day. Enjoy it. So, longing for the past, look what it led to in verse 3. My tears have been my food day and night, while they continually say to me, where is your God? Now, in verse 3, what has he been feasting on? Not food, but tears. That's not good. Keep eating through your trials. Live your life. He says, my tears have been my food. I didn't even want to eat. I'm just wallowing in my tears. He's in this pity party. His tears are what he's eating, feasting on. He should be eating and not continuing in this grief. We can have grief, but we've got to eat. We've got to live. There's still God. And it's heartache when you lose things, when you lose people, when life changes. It's a heartache, but we must continue doing what God wants us to do so that we're still usable on this earth while we're here. If he didn't want us here, he would take us home. But some people work longer than others on this earth for God. Some people, their work for the Lord is done. He takes them home. Other people, he says, I still got work for you. I still have a purpose for you being here. And we've got to use that time wisely. He feeds on tears and not food. And it led to focusing on how bad it was for him. So he keeps reminding himself how bad it is. We don't want to keep reminding ourselves how bad it is. What was he doing? And here's another key. He was looking inward and not upward. Another cause of depression. He was looking inward and not upward. When we look inward, we're done. That's a killer. It leads to self-centeredness, depression. You see, you're looking inward. And when you look inward, what do you usually realize? How bad it is. When we look inward, we're usually looking at the negative and not the positive. Of course, that's going to lead to depression. And in verse 3, we see people even question him, where's your God? Hey, you're a godly man now. Look at you. Where's your God now? People challenging our faith can also bring doubt to us if we let them. Well, yeah, they're right. If God really loved me, then why would he allow this in my life? You don't want to go there. That can lead. Once you are challenging God, that can really lead to depression because then all your hope is gone. What we see in verse 1 to 4 is the problem with this man is he decided to remember and focus on the good old days and the past and not on God. That's why we see the writer have ups and downs, because he keeps going, focusing on God. Oh, but then look at my miserable situation. Oh, but then there's God. Oh, but look at my miserable situation. See, once and for all, we have to commit our life to the Lord and say, it's God. It's my life is all about God. And bad things come along our life, and we need to say, but it's all about God. Job says, naked I came in, naked I'm going home. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Lord gives and Lord takes away. That's hard, isn't it? It is so hard. It is easy to say. It was easy for Job to say, but then he went through a trial, didn't he? But then he got back on track and realized who God is. We have to really believe that in our heart, that God is in charge. His mind was not stayed upon the Lord, but upon his circumstances. Our thirst must be for God, not for Jerusalem, not for the temple, not for the church, not for the good old days, not for whatever, because God is everywhere with you, even in the furnace. So if your thirst is for God, you're going to be okay. You see what he was doing wrong? His focus was, if I could just get back to Jerusalem, if I could just get back to the temple, if I could just worship the Lord with all these people again, I would be okay. No, no. Not until you're thirsting for God and focusing on God. The other things will not do it. He forgot. God is everywhere. He's with him in the exile. He was with Daniel's friends in the fiery furnace. They had the right attitude. They didn't get depressed, thrown in the furnace, did they? That's a lot harder than anything we're going to go through. They got thrown in the furnace. They says, throw us in. Our God will take care of us. Wow. That probably saved the king, seeing that. I mean, he's with us. Would you rather be in the fire with the Lord or out of it with everything you want here? I'd rather be in the fire with the Lord. God is everywhere. And he forgot that. He could have worshiped God anywhere. I used to kind of question, why is everybody so upset and saying they took prayer out of school? Any child can pray in school. You don't have to pray out loud. We can pray anywhere we want. There's no such thing as stopping prayer. So why are we consumed with that kind of stuff? If we're a Christian, we will die for the Lord. We can pray to ourselves wherever we are. Nothing can, a sign can't stop us. There's no signs that say no praying here. If a person doesn't pray, it's because they choose not to. If a person doesn't worship God, it's not because they're in the wrong place. It's because they choose not to. But if our focus is on God, we know he's everywhere. One can worship God, commune with God, anytime, anywhere. You can have this sweet fellowship with God, anywhere. Paul was thrown into the uttermost dungeon and he was praising God at midnight. He didn't say, woe is me. There goes my ministry on the street. I'm in jail. He's praising God. And the jailer was saved. You see how it works? What if he got depressed? Woe is me. That family would have lost salvation that we read about. Our heart and mind must be on God. Isaiah 26, please. Isaiah 26. Verse 3. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. How can I have this perfect peace? How can I defeat depression, discouragement in my life? Keep your mind stayed on God, not just on God, stayed on him always, because you trust in him. Not only you know him and are staying your mind on him, but you trust him that whatever you're going through is part of his plan in your life. Yes, it may have been caused by other people or circumstances, but God is in it with you. He will never leave you or forsake you. You're never alone. So back to Psalm 42, verse 5. Why are you cast down? Why are you disquieted within me? He's talking to himself. Why are you depressed, man? You know, the Bible says, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. He gives himself the cure for his state. The end of verse 5. Hope, here's the cure. Hope in God. For I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Hope in God, for I shall, because I'm still going to praise him. I'm going to hope in God. I will still praise him for the help of his countenance. He's going to change me. He will help my, as long as my hope is in him and not earthly things. No matter what the situation in life, God wants to help you and I, and he can deliver you from any state that you're in and give you strength and peace. But our hope must be in God. You notice that's our choice. Hope in God is the answer, but that's our choice. Are we just going to hope in God no matter what's going on? I'm going to hope in God. My complete hope that's looking upward and not within or downward. Looking upward. Psalm 121, please. Please turn to Psalm 121. Verse 1 and 2. I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Now, if God created heaven and earth, can he heal a person with depression? What is there that our God can't do? Why? So this is all true. Our God can do it, but I have to hope in Him. Without hope, one perishes. There have been all kinds of studies about people without hope, how they perish. And they use rats, and they put them in an impossible situation, and they drown. But if they give them a little way to escape, a little hope, they thrive. Without hope, people perish. Our hope is God. He says to himself, hope in God. He's my maker. See, life is never hopeless for the believer. Never hopeless for the believer. You know, Paul said, to live is Christ and to die is gain. In other words, he's saying, well, I'm here on earth. I'm here to serve the Lord. God has a plan for my life. And if I'm gone from this earth, I'm going to be home with my Father in heaven. How can I lose? Do we believe this? We must believe it. Do we believe Romans 8:28? We know that all things work together for good to those that love God, that are the called according to his purpose. Do we believe it? We know it. We memorize it and we tell others about it. But do we believe it? I'm probably challenged on that verse maybe every other day. Something happens and I'll say to myself, Romans 8:28. We know that all things work together. I almost hate to say that because I think to myself, no, I'm going to stay in this for sure. But it's true. We know that all things work together for good to those that love God, that are the called according to his purpose. Sometimes I didn't see it. Time goes by, and I see how it affected a certain person or thing or my life, and I say, oh, wow, if that never happened, then this would have never happened. Or I would have never met that person, or I never would have been brought to this position with God. You just have to believe it, because he trusts in you. That's where the perfect peace is, because I just trust my God and not my eyes or my feelings. I just trust God. Here's another thing. Life is not about me. When I gave my life to Jesus, I gave him the pink slip like I sold my car. It's yours. You run it the way you want. I gave it to you, Lord. So he has the right to do whatever he wants in my life. I have to know that life is not about me. I'm to be a living sacrifice, the Bible tells me. But when the altar gets hot, I'm not to roll off. I'm to stay right there. See, our hope in God is what keeps one from depression or being in turmoil. We just hope in God. Psalm 39, verse 7. And now, Lord, what do I wait for? My hope is in you. Why am I waiting, Lord? Well, my hope is in you. Waiting for you, Lord. The writer now admits his condition. We get back to Psalm 42:6. Oh my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore I will remember you from the land of Jordan, from the heights of Hermon, from the hill of Mizar. You know, I'm going to remember you, Lord. It's all about you. You're my God. He says, my soul is cast down within me. I'm going to remember you. What's the difference between verse 5 and 6? Verse 5, he's talking to himself. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Verse 6, he starts talking to God. He says, oh my God. You see the difference? We can talk ourselves in and out of things. Start talking to God in your condition. He says, oh my God, my soul is cast down within me. Sometimes we're afraid to admit our condition. We don't want other Christians to know how horrible our state is because they'll question our Christianity. Maybe we're afraid to say I'm depressed or discouraged or discontented. If you want hope and you want prayer, you have to admit it. But see, not in verse 6, he's going to God and saying, God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore, I will remember you. It's cast down and you're the healer. It's got to come from you, God. We can't be too proud, even before God, to admit we need help. God knows anyway. So why not say it? He knows how miserable I am today. He knows. I will remember you. And that's what we must do. But then, and this brings them to remember this. Verse 8, the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, a prayer to the God of my life. He starts reminding himself of the truth. The Lord, you know, my hope is in you, Lord. The Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime. The Lord loves me, and during the day his loving kindness will be with me. Maybe not from others. Maybe they don't even understand. But the Lord's loving kindness will be with me, because now I'm talking to God. You see, he loves me during the day, and what at night, his song will be with me. Songs about God will be with me right where I am. I don't have to go to church. I don't have to be here or there. It's good to go to church to get into the Word and worship with the congregation, but he can be anywhere in the middle of the night. He's with you, and his songs about God will be with me. You know, in other words, focus on heart, mind, and soul on God and not on self or circumstances. And verse 9 and 10, I will say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? You notice how he goes back? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with the breaking of my bones, my enemy reproaches me while they say to me all day long, where is your God? There's still going to be attack while we're fighting these times. And we're going to God. There's still going to be others attacking you, things attacking you. The enemy's still going to be there. Satan's going to be there. But right away in verse 11, why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. Hey, the hope is in God. He's my answer, and God alone. This can bring depression when all people start attacking you too. That's why you have to separate yourself and say, my hope is in God. Not getting any comfort here. It can bring depression. God has a plan, and he's going to take care of me. He's going to give me loving kindness. Life is short. We need to use our time wisely here. The devil would have us, and the flesh, would have us focus on this life here on earth. And that can get us depressed. If a person's hope is in this world, they are in a hopeless state. They will get depressed because trials and tribulations will come. Look up. Our hope is in God. Romans 5, verse 1. Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into his grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope. That's what we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, let's get this, but we also glory in tribulations. Wow, how can he say that? Instead of getting depressed, I can glory in my tribulations, knowing that the tribulation produces perseverance, as if I treat it right, go to God, and perseverance, character, and character what? Hope. And you, next time you go through something, you have hope because you look back and say, God delivered me. He did it. My hope is in God. Now, hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. It's there. We just have to access that hope. You notice three times in our reading today, why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Psalm 46, 1. Turn it to Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength. God is a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Why? Because God is our refuge and strength. Even though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. It's okay. Psalm 71, verse 5. Psalm 71, verse 5. For you are my hope. Can we all say that? For you are my hope, O Lord God. You are my trust from my youth. It's all God. Now, this message doesn't cover the whole issue of depression, but it's God's word on depression, how to pull oneself out of it or have preventive maintenance. It's okay to talk to yourself and to God as long as we're focusing on God. When down, praise God. When discouraged, worship God. When lacking and thirsting, fill up with God. Hope in God. Father, thank you for your word today. Thank you for your instruction. I pray we all leave here with hope in our heart. We all go through things that get us down at times, Lord. But we thank you that we have hope. It's not hopeless. Help us to take this instruction and apply it to our life. It's all about God, where we look, to you or to ourselves. Deliver us from temptation to feel sorry for ourselves, Lord. We can't deny life can be troublesome, grieving, tribulation involved, but you're in it all with us. Help us to remember that. And help us to know that you love us and you will take care of us and deliver us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.